The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, Hannah. Well, it's a great pleasure this morning to be able to welcome Matthew Bolte to come and bring the word for us this morning. Matthew and Kathy have been here over the last few days as part of teaching for the Australian Prayer Network's Foundation School, Watchman School of Intercession. Kylie and I first met Matthew 27 years ago when you came up to contribute to a kids camp that was being run here at Rangeville. And you've just continued to speak into our lives in various ways and been a rich blessing. So thank you. And would you welcome Matthew, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be here with you. Who would like their prayer life to be a little more than it is currently at the moment? So that you've got effective, deeper, fervent prayer. Well, this is actually what was motivating the disciples when they came and asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, teach us to pray. You've just heard Hannah read for us from the scriptures that entire account there in Matthew, in Luke 11. When Jesus invited the disciples into his very own prayer school. How would you like to be invited into the prayer school of Jesus? Well, friends, he's here this morning, and I think he might just want to invite you to come to his prayer school. Now, this passage of scripture in Luke 11, there's a whole pile that's been preached about this scripture before. And I'm sure there's a whole pile more that's going to be preached into the future. And there's all sorts of wonderful things that can be drawn from these 13 simple verses here. But my hope and prayer this morning is that we can just take from this three simple lessons that Jesus taught here in this school of prayer with him, three simple little phrases, little requests that will kickstart your prayer life, that will move your prayer life from being a duty to being a delight. Would anybody like that? Because I would. Because it can become a drudgery and a duty, isn't it? Because we're instructed to pray, and so we do it, and every now and then it gets a bit tough and a bit boring and a bit same old, same old. Well, in this passage of scripture here, Jesus just gives us three simple prayer requests that are going to change our prayer life forever. Why is this important, by the way, to get our prayer life in line with what Jesus teaches? Because, my friends, in Jesus, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, the fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. To be really blunt about it, the lost in Toowoomba are waiting for you to pray for them. Now, they might not even know they're waiting, but I can tell you they're waiting. They're waiting for you to pray so that the veil of darkness that's covering their eyes will be removed so that they can see Jesus just like you can. This is why it's so important to understand what Jesus teaches about prayer. So let's go back to that passage of scripture now and begin to unpack it piece by piece. I'm not going to go through every verse, But there are three simple things here that Jesus teaches that's going to turn your prayer life the right way up, and it's going to turn Toowoomba and the Darling Downs the right way up. And can I say that if it turns Toowoomba the right way up, that's going to flow into the rest of the nation because of who you are and what you carry. So this is vitally important this morning that we get a hold of this and understand what Jesus teaches us about prayer so that we can ask him to teach us to pray. That we can ask the Father and say, Father, I want to know you more. And that we can say, Holy Spirit, oh, would you take control of my prayer life? Friends, these are the three simple little prayer requests that come out of Luke chapter 11. Just three. And if you've got a pen and a piece of paper or you've got one of those digital thingos, write these down, please. Take a screenshot up there. Write it down. Take a screenshot. Type it up. These simple prayer requests are going to change your prayer life forever. How do I know that? Well, because a bunch of Galilean fishermen came to Jesus and said, would you teach us to pray, please? Now let me just translate that into modern Australian language. A bunch of North Queenslanders turned up and said, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray, hey. Now, I can say that because we've spent a lot of time in Townsville in the north. And the disciples, they were the North Queenslanders of the day. Friends, they had a strong Galilean accent. And these guys had been hanging out with Jesus for quite some time. And they began to connect the dots. Every time they saw Jesus go off and spend time with his Father in prayer, they'd noticed the really cool stuff happened afterwards. Would we like that? Every time we've spent time with our Father, cool stuff happens all around us. That's what they'd begun to notice. But they'd begun to notice that Jesus spent hours on his own, sometimes all night in prayer. So they came to the professor of prayer and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. You see, Jesus' prayer life ensured that he kept his compassion on wherever he went. And that wasn't easy because there were a bunch of people all around him pushing and shoving. There were people arguing and disputing. There were sick. There were poor. There were arguments. It was on all the time. And everywhere Jesus went, he walked as the Father would have him walk, with love and compassion. You know that famous verse from John 3:16? God so... And the Son only ever did and said what the Father was doing and saying. Is that correct? So if the Father loved the world, guess who else loves the world? Jesus. Because he hung out with his Father and his Father filled his heart with compassion for the lost. Mostly for us, they're just really annoying. Because they cut in front of you in the traffic. They make a noise all Saturday night when you're preparing for a sermon on Sunday. They push in the supermarket line. But my dear friends, these Galileans had noticed time and time again that Jesus' heart was filled with compassion. And they wanted that. That's what they were asking for. Teach us to pray, Jesus. Now you need to understand that in Luke 9 and Luke 10, Jesus had already sent them out to minister. They were praying for the sick. They were casting out demons. They're asking something different here than teach us how to pray for the sick and cast out. They'd already done that and were extremely successful at it. They're wanting to have the same kind of prayer life that Jesus had. So they come to the Prince of Prayer and say, teach us to pray. Now the measure of a teacher is in the results in their students. Would that be correct? So these Galileans that signed up into the school of prayer with Jesus, how well did they go with their prayer? Oh, my friends, their prayer turned Jerusalem upside down. Their prayer turned Judea upside down. Their prayer affected Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Have a look at the church praying in the book of Acts. Who taught them to pray like that? This is where it starts in Luke 11. Jesus taught them how to pray. Oh, my dear friends, would you be prepared to ask Jesus to teach you to pray? Could I encourage you to ask Jesus every morning for the next week in your devotion time, just that simple request, Jesus, teach me to pray. Does Jesus answer our prayers, by the way? He loves to. And it brings glory to the Father. So can you write that down, please? Jesus, teach me to pray. The very first thing that Jesus taught them in the school of prayer was one simple word. Father. Jesus teaches us that we can call God Father. That's how the prayer starts, doesn't it? Pray like this. Father. That was seriously radical. Jewish people didn't talk about God as Father. They were too frightened to even use God's name. And yet Jesus said, you can call God Dad. Oh my, how radical is that? How incredible. What an invitation to actually call God Father. This is the first lesson that Jesus taught them in the school of prayer with him. And he had modeled that for them. Because Jesus referred to God as Father again and again and again. This was his language. Even as a young boy, he would talk about, in my Father's house. Again and again and again when talking to others. Oh, my Father does this and my Father says that. And my Father and I are one. And my Father lives in me and I live in him. Again and again and again. If you want to really look at that, read the Gospel of John. And underline every time Jesus talks about God as Father. There is a huge number there. This is amazingly radical. No wonder he got into so much trouble. My Father. And more than that, when Jesus prayed, when Jesus talked to God, that's how he addressed God, as Father. He had a personal, ongoing, intimate Father-Son relationship with God. Now, we kind of get tangled up in that a bit when we use the words Father and Son and we think, oh, yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we kind of put it up there. But I need to bring it down here to our own understanding of how our relationships work here. This is family relationship that's being spoken about. You can call God Dad or Daddy or Pop or whatever word it is that you use in your culture and your language for that intimate relationship with the person who's your dad. We can use that. Father, Jesus prayed, thank you that you hear me. Father, I pray for those of mine. Again and again and again, Jesus uses the term Father. So this first lesson in the school of prayer is an important, radical one, because it moves us from religion to relationship. It moves us from duty to delight, because we're talking to our dad. We're talking with our Father. And Jesus goes on and introduces us to our dad. Look at this scripture in Luke 12, starting at verse 30. Luke 12, beginning at verse 30. But your father, notice the language now, he's talking to this bunch of Galileans. He's talking to us, your father. Now he's used my father. Now he's turned it around and says, oh, by the way, your father already knows your needs. Underline that scripture. What a promise that is. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything, everything you need. Oh, Father, you're a good, good Father. Isn't that a great new song that that's recently been released into the body of Christ? God is a good, good Father. And we're loved by him. But look where it goes from here. So don't be afraid, little flock. Hear the gentleness, hear the compassion, hear the love in Jesus speaking with his friends. My little flock, don't be afraid, for it gives your Father great happiness or delight or joy to give you the kingdom. What a wonderful scripture to follow on from the series that Andrew's been teaching you on the kingdom of God. It gives the Father great delight to give you the kingdom. Jesus encourages us to get to know our Father, our Heavenly Father, just like he knew him. Would you be prepared to ask, Father, I want to know you more? This moves from here to here. This is intimate, heartfelt, personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. This will radically transform your prayer life. Oh, you might have asked Jesus every morning for a week, and I pray that you do teach me to pray. Can I encourage you to pray, Father, I want to know you more, for a whole month? Father, I want to know you. I want to know you more. This is at the core and the heart of every believer's prayer life. That's where we start. It's ongoing. It's not just a once-er. You know what a once-er is, do you? Just asking once. Father, I want to know you more. Father, I want to feel your embrace. And it won't be long after you've begun to pray like this, Father, I want to know you more. Jesus, teach me to pray. It won't be long before your Heavenly Father begins to share his heart, not just with you and how much he loves and cherishes you and that you're his son or his daughter and he loves you. It's going to go further than that. He's going to begin to share his heart with you for others. And if you keep saying, Father, I want to know you more, and you get his heart for other people, it won't be long then before you hear him say, whom shall I send? Do you know how Isaiah responds to that question in Isaiah chapter 6? Here am I, send me. You see, our intimacy moves and grows, and then we get the Father's heart for those, and we begin to intercede and pray for Toowoomba, and it won't be long before the Lord's sending you out into the highways and the byways to the very ends of the earth, because you're carrying His compassion for the lost, my friends. But there's a problem, isn't there, with that word Father? Because many of us, that word is not a pleasant word. It brings difficult memories. Your Heavenly Father knows this. The Lord Jesus knows this. That is why the very last lesson in the school of prayer with Jesus, we started with the first one, Father, we've left all the others out some other time. The last lesson in verse 13 gives us our last request that we're going to look at for the day. Jesus says in Luke 11 and verse 13, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Hear that? Those who ask Him. This is your Heavenly Father's answer to the uncomfortable relationship we have with our earthly fathers. He puts His Spirit in our heart and fills it to overflowing with His love. That's Romans 5, verse 5. Or to use the Authorized Version, His love is shed abroad in our hearts. And I like that expression because it's got that understanding of it fills and flows. That's what Toowoomba needs, friends. Believers filled with the love of the Father that flows out through their fingers and their toes and touches everything around them. So when we pray, Father, I want to know You more, He wants to give us His Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that introduces us to that intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's part of His role. That's why Jesus says in the summary of all this teaching on prayer, this is the last point. This is the take-home one, the most important one. Holy Spirit, I need You to take control of my prayer life. I've asked you to pray for a week, saying, Jesus, teach me to pray. I've asked you to pray for a month, saying, Father, I want to know You more. Can I encourage you to pray every day until the Lord calls you home? Holy Spirit, I need You to take control of my prayer life. Oh, friends, that's going to turn Toowoomba the right way up. That's going to turn this state the right way up. Because what happens here in Rangeville, what happens here in Toowoomba, flows into the nation. Just look at where you are geographically if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about. The creeks and streams from here flow into what river? The Condamine. The Condamine flows into what river? The Darling. And the Darling flows into what river? The Murray. And the Murray flows right down to South Australia and out there at Goolwa. So what happens here in the natural flows all the way down to South Australia. what happens here in the spiritual, my friends, flows into the nation. Amen? This is what, this is so powerfully important for you here. So when you begin to pray, Holy Spirit, I need you to take control of my prayer life. That's going to affect the nation. That's just so exciting. Why? Why do you need the Holy Spirit to take control of your prayer life? Well, let me tell you, if you're praying in the flesh, it doesn't get answered. Who's prayed in the flesh before? Yep, I've done all those kind of things. Have you ever been in a prayer competition before? Well, I have. I started one. Because I was praying with a few other pastors on the top of the mountain down there at Boona, and I didn't want them blinky Baptists praying better than me. So they'd spoken to the north and the south and the east and the west. I got up and started speaking to the north, northeast and the south, southwest. And the friends, that's flesh. We need the Holy Spirit to take control of our prayer life. Otherwise, it's just a noisy gong. The Holy Spirit is actually called a spirit of prayer. That's one of his names, a spirit of supplication in Zechariah 12 and verse 10. That's one of his names. So would it be very cool to have someone living in you who is actually called a spirit of prayer? Yeah. Because do you know how to pray all the time and what to pray for? No, but guess who does? The Holy Spirit. That's why we need him to take control of our prayer life. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Advocate in John 14 and verse 16, or the Encourager, or the Comforter, or the one that comes and stands alongside you. Kathy often teaches prayer is not taught, it's caught. Well, if you want to catch prayer, why don't you stand beside the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Prayer? He's called the Comforter, the Encourager, the one that stands right there beside you. So who better to tutor you and encourage you in prayer than the Spirit of Prayer? Oh, Holy Spirit, take control of my prayer life. The Holy Spirit, one of his roles is to teach you what Jesus taught. So we go back to Luke chapter 11 verse 1. Jesus teaches to pray. Guess who's going to remind you what Jesus taught about prayer? The Holy Spirit. Do we need that? Absolutely. Are you getting the feeling here that the Holy Spirit's quite important in your prayer life? Because there's more, friends. As well as steak knives, the Holy Spirit is going to help you in your intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. So when you begin to cry out, Father, I want to know you more, and you're going to do that for a month, I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit is going to turn up, and he is going to testify and witness in your spirit, exactly as it says in Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6, he is going to cause you to cry out, Daddy God, or Abba Father. The Holy Spirit does that. Do we need that? Friends, in our flesh, we can't call God Dad. It just, everything in us says, I can't do that. It's the Holy Spirit that does that, my friends. He's the one. And it goes on in Romans 8 and verse 16 and says, the Holy Spirit cooperates or testifies with our spirit. So the two are working together. So he's come from being standing alongside to standing inside, full of the Spirit. And then we can testify, in other words, speak out to those around us, I am a child of God. Oh, wow. Do we need that? Oh, yes, my friends. The Holy Spirit will also help you pray. In Romans 8 and verses 26 and 27, we're told in that scripture that though we're weak and we struggle, God gives us his Spirit because we don't know how to pray and what to pray for, but he puts his Spirit in us to intercede for us with groans that words cannot understand. And it's the Holy Spirit that prays in us according to God's will. Do we need that? It saves a whole pile of tacking on the end of every prayer, if it be your will. Because the Holy Spirit is interceding in accordance with the Father's will. Oh, Holy Spirit, take control of our prayer lives. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a prayer language. In 1 Corinthians 14 and the first five verses there, Paul unpacks amazingly the gift that the Holy Spirit brings in prayer, praying in tongues. That's a gift that the Spirit gives, a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit brings. He gives you a prayer language. So if you don't know how to pray or what to pray for, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a prayer language. And finally, the Holy Spirit is your senior prayer partner. Oh, do we need that, friends? This is what Jesus taught in his school of prayer. So we can come this morning and start that process, because this city is waiting for our effective, fervent prayer that will accomplish much. So would you be prepared to start that right now? And when I give you a moment of silence, to actually pray and ask Jesus, teach me to pray. Father, I want to know you more. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need you to take control of my prayer life. Oh, dear friends, would you be brave enough and courageous enough to ask these simple, simple things that a bunch of Galileans got taught, and it turned Jerusalem the right way up until the name of Jesus was heard everywhere in that city. Oh, Toowoomba's waiting, friends. The nation is waiting. I'm going to pray briefly now, and then I want to give you some time to pray those simple requests on the screen. Oh, Father, would you give us here right now the courage to ask for these three simple things, knowing that it gives you great delight to answer our prayer, and knowing that it'll bring great fruit and glory to you. So we come and ask now. Holy Spirit, give us the courage. Oh, my dear friends, Jesus promised us that if we asked anything in his name, he would grant what we have asked. And we would bear great and lasting fruit, and it would bring glory to the Father. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.